The South Dakota Humanities Council prepares for the next Festival of Books, but with a slightly different look. You're listening to SDPB's In the Moment. I'm your host, Lori Walsh. Last spring, if you remember, the Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE, terminated previously approved grants from the National Endowment for the Humanities. Well, now we know that court documents have shown two DOGE employees actually used ChatGPT to identify arts and humanities projects they thought might be related to DEI topics. In January, Congress approved a bill that restored NEH funding. But none of that means that museums, libraries, and humanities organizations have currently been made whole. So let's talk about what's happening in South Dakota. Christina Wee is executive director of the South Dakota Humanities Council. She and Center for the Book director Joshua Rudnick joined us in SDPB's studios for an update.
As of right now, Congress has congressionally appropriated our funding to be restored to the FY24 and FY25 levels. However, to date, we have not received that funding. We have worked with our members of Congress and with our federation, and it's not anything, we haven't received a notice saying you're not getting your funding. It's just we haven't seen it yet. So, like I said, I just working really closely this past year, especially these last couple months, on our congressional delegation from South Dakota, and they've been extremely supportive of it. So we are lucky that all of them voted in favor of returning our funding. And so now we're just waiting for those funds to be released.
How have you been operating?
Last year, we had a very successful fundraising year. You know, I really pushed fundraising. And so we are able to use those funds because our fiscal year starts November 1st. So it's a little, it's not like January to December. But we are very lucky at the South Dakota Humanities Council in that we have some very healthy endowments that we've been able to utilize for emergency use, especially during times like this. But right now, we are still operating mostly on our fundraising dollars.
And that's consistent with what you told us previously, which was if you raised the money from private donations, that it could fill a gap, but possibly not, you know, forever funding.
Absolutely. We are continuously humbly shocked by the supporters we have in our state. When the cuts first happened, we had folks step up that hadn't donated in a while, hadn't ever donated to us, and just wanted to be supportive of the humanities. We really had a lot of tremendous support from our foundations across South Dakota. The South Dakota Humanities Council actually reached out to us asking how they can help.
The
South Dakota Community Foundation, and as well as the Vukarevich Foundation. They have stepped up and helped fund the Young Readers Program, Brass Family Foundation. A lot of our foundations across the state have stepped up because they recognize that that gap was too hard to fill so quickly in terms of funding.
Yeah. All right. And you have a new, we had a retirement. Jennifer Widman retired. She was the director of the Center for the Book for a number of years, number of decades. She will be missed.
Oh, yeah, she is missed.
And so you did a search for a new candidate for that. And tell us a little bit about Joshua here.
Yeah, Joshua has been a huge humanities advocate for many, many years. He actually sat on our board of directors and also served on the board of directors for the Federation of States Humanities Council, so on a national scale as well. But not only that, he was just an amazing volunteer. And so this opportunity presented itself. We did an extensive search. It took research. It took us really looking at the state as a whole. Mm-hmm. And Joshua, he just pushed through every, hurdle that he needed to do to make sure he got this position. And he's done phenomenal so far. He actually started this job when I was bedridden from a health injury. And he stepped up brand new and knew what to do. So,
yeah. Joshua, tell us a little bit about your background and why you wanted to take on this next role.
You know, I've been thinking about this quite a bit recently, and this might be cliche to say, but I feel like everything in my life has kind of led me up to this moment. Recently, I was with SDSU teaching American Indian Studies. Really, the past 10 years, it's been teaching in higher academic institutions, excuse me. Even though I love teaching, I came to a realization to myself that, you know, teaching doesn't always have to take place in a classroom. And this really, kind of, to me, was more of an just an evolution of my career, whether it be teaching or serving others. Prior to getting into higher academics, I was I worked with various organizations serving developmental disabilities. So I've always had that servant leadership quality within me, and yeah. I'm just excited to use my academic background and my expertise to serve the state of South Dakota.
All right. I remember last South Dakota Festival of Books, everybody was asking, is this going to be the final festival? And so give us an update about the Festival of Books. Joshua, you want to start there?
Yes. Well, it is something that we continue to plan to do for the South Dakota community. Mm-hmm. It is, as Christina had said, you know, once we the funding crisis happened, we really, all these supporters came out of the woodwork, right? And they've always been there, but I think this moment really was a call to action to them and making sure that the humanities and the Festival of Books are supported. So it will be, you know, with these transitions, it may look a little bit different this year, but it is still something that we are committed to putting on for the state.
Christina, tell us about the festival for 2026 in Brookings.
So we're still kind of in the research phase of everything because we wanted to make sure we had Joshua on before we made any big final decisions. You know, we are really excited for this year's festival. One of the changes we are going to have to do this year is it's going to go from a three-day festival to like a one-and-a-half. And, you know, that was because of funding cuts. But also, you know, we are trying to mirror the National Book Festival, which is only one day as well. Joshua and I will actually be going out there in August. We want to be as impactful as we can in recognizing that sometimes we lose folks to a three-day festival because they come for one day and then they may not come back. And so we're really looking to condense it, but being more impactful and more efficient.
Yeah. All right. And South Dakota One Book, do we have a One Book or Young Readers One Book yet for 2026?
You know, it is funny timing. We should have that announcement ready to go this weekend. And
nice.
I will say that the book that is chosen is kind of twofold. It's one book, but we're also using it as part of the celebration of America 250. Okay. And so the title is really reflective of South Dakota as a whole and how we fit into that picture. Because we know that South Dakota started more than 250 years ago. And so this book really explores that. And we are so excited, Lori, for you to read it.
Yeah, I'm excited,
yes.
too. Joshua, when you come to this new role, do you come with a vision? In the beginning stages, you're thinking about, you know, how can I be selected for the position? What would I bring to the position? Now that you're through that, and then you're, you know, holding on for the ride while you try to figure out what your email password is and, you know, everything else, right? Do you think about the future? And what are some of the ways that you consider the future of this Center for the Book in South Dakota?
Yes. So right now, I'm just trying to get a foundation under me, right? And one thing that Jennifer was amazing in creating a network of people around the state, and I'm still working to tap into that. So I know there may be people out there that Jennifer worked with closely. I may not be in contact with them, right? But I will find them, or they will find me. And right now, yes, there is that temptation to maybe to tear things down, right, and maybe rebuild them. But the center with the humanities really has a solid foundation. Yeah. And while we are looking to do additional programming and continue to do the impactful programming that we've done in the past, we continue to explore ways that we can serve South Dakota. You know, one thing that I've really started to think about was like, well, why can't the center be a standalone thing, right? Why can't it be a bigger player in the state when people think of literacy or literary resources? And I'm speaking of as a background as an English teacher, we could be that resource, right? We may not have the answers for them. We may not have the specific resources, but we should be able to point them in the right direction. There are a lot of amazing organizations in this state, and we don't need to be recreating the wheel. And I really see myself as being an advocate for other organizations in this state, obviously with trying to keep ourselves going as well.
Right, yeah. Is it those early days and early stages and then that big event coming up so quickly? You guys have been through a lot to get your feet on the ground and plan the next thing. Christina, are there other programs that you find that people are really, when they think of the Humanities Council, these are the kinds of programs that they are keying into, the speakers that go around, the scholars, Humanities Cafe? What are some of the things you want to talk about?
Yeah, I think the big one right now that is ever important, especially in this big picture conversation that's happening in Sioux Falls, is literacy. Mm-hmm. We know that our literacy rates have dropped by 4% in 1 year. So, you know, 72% of third graders are below a reading proficient level. That 4% jump is pretty significant. And so folks are coming together around the state saying, how can we try to address this issue? And those talks are starting to happen in Sioux Falls. But we're really, we are a statewide organization, so we want to bring this statewide as well. And so with Joshua on board, we're really going to start tapping into our partners across the state and try to eliminate those silos. You know, what's happening in the Black Hills? What's happening in the Northeast Corner? How can we come together to look at this from a statewide perspective? And so our board is ready. We had some turnover. We had the funding cuts. But right now, this is a pretty pressing issue. And so we're really pushing into that Young Readers Program. Yeah. So that's the one where every third grader gets a free book across the state of South Dakota. We are a little worried because we don't know how we're going to top Billy Mills. He's like a huge South Dakota celebrity. But it's one of those things, like we don't have the time to wait. Our children need us. Our adults need us when they want to enter the workforce. And so that's an area that we're really looking into expanding.
Were you surprised by that literacy rate decline?
The 4%, yeah. I knew that it would decline because of COVID. You know, we keep hearing that with the introduction of the technology in the classroom. We keep hearing these. But the 4% really shocked me. And if you compare us to other states, that decline is higher in South Dakota than other states.
Is it tied to COVID?
There's nothing right now that can definitively say it's one thing. And in my opinion, I think it's many different things. I think it's how we test our students. We're testing our students on a laptop versus reading. It's COVID. I think that's so many different things that are going on that it's going to be hard to pinpoint one thing.
Which speaks to the point of bringing in different people from different areas across the state to serve on the same issue.
Exactly.
Our kids aren't up to par reading. Mm-hmm. And that's urgent.
It is. It's not something we can wait. Sioux Falls is taking some really strong action right now. I'm sure you're going to be hearing about it in the next couple months. And so it is one of those things, like, we can't wait, you know. Yeah. I have two kids in school. I know how important, you know, even 6 months can be in a child's learning.
America at 250. Is there a consolidated idea of what it looks like in South Dakota? Lots of organizations are doing different things. We'll wait for the announcement on the one book. Anything else that you want to talk about, the work that Humanities Council does in talking about democracy and American democracy in particular?
Yes. So we sit on the South Dakota 250 Commission. That's head by Ben Jones and other leaders across South Dakota. And so what we are doing is we're tying the one book, like I said, to 250. And typically, as you know, on that, the author tours the state. But we're actually expanding on that. And so we received some funding so we can grow that. So instead of just having the author come to, do a talk, we're going to be expanding it to involve local foods and local, some sort of cultural local aspect, whether that's a drum circle or having someone do a reading. It's because we believe in the power of stories at the Humanities Council, and stories are really what keeps our country going, which keeps South Dakota growing. And we think that has a vital place in the 250th celebration. And so we're going to be turning those into community conversations around food, around culture, around local. I'm a local history nerd, so I'm going to love this. and really just opening it up to the community and having it be a very large-scale community event.
Any final thoughts?
We just, again, want to thank all of our supporters for everything they've done to support the humanities, support public broadcasting, because they're huge supporters of us. But we also do want to thank everyone who's made phone calls, who's advocated on our behalf. You know, the humanities, we're in it to be here, and we couldn't do it without our supporters. So thank you.
Christina Wee is Executive Director of the South Dakota Humanities Council. Joshua Rudnick is Center for the Book Director. And that's our conversation for today. I hope that it served you. From all of us here at SDPB, I'm Lori Walsh. Thanks for listening.